Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Teach on this thought for a little bit today. Repentance unto life. Praise God. Let's pray for the preaching this morning. Lord, to say something that would benefit us, benefit your people. Change this challenge, anoint these lips of clay. God, I give you all the glory. Amen. One more hand clap. Thank you for being in the house. Seated this morning. God's good. God is good. We've talked in the last month and couple of months maybe on things that are core. You know, I preached some search the scripture messages and taught on who Jesus is, and the scripture plainly declares who he is. If it's contained in the scripture, it matters. Basically, is what I want you to know. And we, of course, did another one on baptism. And again, if it's contained in the scripture, if it pertains to the kingdom of God especially, then we need to make sure we're paying attention to it and giving, as one man said, giving earnest heed to these things. And repentance is no different. I think that today in a lot of the mainstream religion and churches and even things that we see as considered revivals in the land, I thank God for anything that is happening that is bringing glory to God. But I believe that there are a lot of emotional revivals that are happening, and that we need a strong revival of repentance, that people will take to heart what the scripture says about repentance. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, so preach the gospel, and then people should be baptized. Peter said, repent and be baptized. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel must contain repentance. You know, when we talk about the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, we talk about repentance equates to death. And then, of course, baptism is burial and being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the new life, the resurrection. And so when Peter said he had already preached the gospel to them in his message in Acts chapter 2, he had already talked about the life and death and the resurrection of Christ. And it was that pricked their heart. And that's why he said, I can't tell you now just jump to baptism, but you must repent. You have to do, there's an action, there's something that you must also do. You must repent and be baptized. And so the preaching of the gospel, you can't fully preach the gospel. You can't accurately preach the gospel unless you teach and preach repentance as part of it. People are afraid of, it's those words that we're worried will drive people away. It's like holiness. You know, people are afraid to mention the word holiness because they're afraid it'll run people off. But the Lord said for us to be holy as he is holy. So holiness is part of it. And repentance is part of it. In this Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, this what we see is the plan of salvation that God has now brought to the fulfillment. The prophecies have been fulfilled. His spirit is being poured out on all flesh. And there are three actions in this verse of scripture. Two of them belong to us. Repentance and baptism, that's our choice. That's our decision. God will not repent for us, and God is not going to force us into a tank of water to be baptized. We have to make that decision. But then there's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That is him. He gives the Holy Ghost. It comes in his name. And if we believe on him, we should receive that according to what Jesus said. And it would be like rivers of living water flowing up out of us. That is what he does. But to prepare us for these things, we must repent. Our conversion cannot begin without repentance. Now, your faith can begin without repentance. You can hear the preaching of the gospel and you can have faith and believe, because you're not going to repent unless you believe. You shouldn't repent unless you believe. And when you believe the gospel, you know, then it leads to repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But make no doubt about it, your conversion will never start without repentance. It can't be complete without repentance. It has to have it. To be born again by water and spirit, we have to do that. That's something we have to do. We must be born again. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit. It is something we do. We have to do both of these things to complete our conversion. All three actions, repentance, baptism, and infilling of the Holy Ghost, that is what completes a new birth experience. So we see that we must believe and obey the gospel to be saved. We must be born again, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of God. But here's the thing, and this is what a lot of times people, because they, I told somebody this the other day, repentance is a two-sided coin. People get hung up on the must. When you start telling them you must be born again, when we say that to somebody, it's like, don't tell me what to do. You know, their flesh rises up, and don't be nosing around in my business, Pastor. You don't tell me what I must do. The scripture is full of must. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God. We have to believe, there are some must that must happen in our life, and we must be born again. And if we're going to be born again, we must repent. That's part of it. But before you get hung up on the must, just viewing it as, okay, this is just some rule, another rule, these church people with all their rules, it's another rule that we have to adhere to. You need to realize the other side of the coin. Yes, you must repent, but the other side of that coin of repentance is that we get to. And that's what people don't understand. Yeah, we think that that is something that's just allowed, that it was always like this. It was not so. It was not so. And so we don't need to just go, I must repent. No, you get to repent. You get to have the privilege of being able to partake of this great plan of salvation. And let me tell you, anywhere in the scripture that you read is something we must do, it always leads to a better life for us. You may not like saying you must, but you know, we tell our kids some things that they must do. And why do we do that? Because we know it will lead to a better life for them in the future. And so when God in his word says this is a must, he's not trying to hold you down. He's not trying to hem you in. He's not trying to keep you from enjoying all his, the Bible says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. He's not trying to paralyze our life. He is trying to bring us to life. But most people, when they hear repentance, they think of some red-faced preacher screaming across a pulpit, and that repentance is only for the unwashed, the unchurched, the lost of the world, just the rank sinner, and that's only for them. But repentance is one of those good and perfect gifts that comes from above, and it's for everybody. When it talks about every good and perfect gift that's from above, let me tell you, repentance is one of those good and perfect gifts. In the plan of salvation, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost ain't the only gift. Repentance is a gift for us. Being able to be washed in his blood, that's a gift for us. And so we thank God for these great and perfect gifts. Repentance is birthed out of God's goodness and out of his mercy and his love for his creation. That's why Paul would write to the church at Rome, Romans 2 and 4. He said, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He was asking them a question, really, because he said, are you resisting the goodness of God? And he said, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God is always leading us. He is a shepherd that leads us into green pastures, leads us beside still waters, leads us to a table prepared before our enemies. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, and he leads us into repentance. Why? Because it is not his will, Peter wrote, that any perish, but that all. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, all of you. The scripture says that all should come to repentance. We are not forced. God will not drag you kicking and screaming into repentance. Repentance is a willing decision to accept what God has allowed. And it's not just for the sinner that don't know him. It's not just for those that are unchurched. But it has always been, repentance has always been for God's people. Ezekiel 14 and 6, the Lord would say to his people, repent and turn yourself from your idols. That was his people. In Ezekiel 18 and 30, he said, therefore I will judge you. How many knows that judgment will first begin at the house of the Lord? It's going to begin at us first. He said, I'll judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions so that iniquity shall not be your ruin. In Jeremiah 3 and 12, he would say, return, thou backsliding Israel. The word repent and turn and return are all the same word in Hebrew. They all mean the same thing. When you repent, you are either turning or you are returning. Your first act of repentance is a turning away. Your second act of repentance is a returning back to the path. And if you think you're never going to repent after your first altar experience, you don't know very much about this walk with God. Because repentance will now become a way of life for God's children. Because we will constantly be pressured to change our course. We'll always be tempted to move away from the path that God has laid out before us. We will always slip and stumble and fall on our face. And thank God for the gift of repentance, that I can find a way to correct my course and find a way to stay in God's favor and find a way to get back to the things God wants me to be. He did not leave us without an answer. He gave us, it was the answer that Peter gave at the beginning. And it is the answer that will stay with us from now till he calls us home. And I thank God for it. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise God. He said, return, you backsliding Israel, my people. He said, instead of cutting you off, instead of kicking you out, instead of just walking away from you, he said, return. Come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to the way. Come back to my ways. Come back to me. I love you. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I still want you to be mine. I want you to be in my covenant. I want you to be in my graces. So repent and turn back to me. And it wasn't only in the Old Testament that the message of repentance went to the Jews, his people. I'm going to get to us in a minute. Don't worry. But before we were his people, this message was going to Israel, to his people. We know that salvation is to the Jew first, and repentance is part of salvation. You can't be saved without repentance. I don't care who says it. You can't be saved without repentance because the scripture don't bear it out. It don't happen. But in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 2, John the Baptist would preaching to the Jews and to the Pharisees, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 4 and 17, Jesus is fresh out of the wilderness, his temptations, 40 days of temptation. He begins preaching. And what message does he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's not preaching to the Gentiles, he's preaching to the Jews. In Mark 13 and 3, Jesus told the Jews, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Because repentance prevents perishing. That's why God wants you to come to it. That's his will. Luke 24 and 47, Jesus in the Great Commission to his disciples said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And then finally our scripture, Acts 2:38, Peter said to all of them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was always, and who Peter was preaching to Israel. He was in Jerusalem. He was in the city that is where God said, I will put my name forever. He was in the Jews' city. This is where they came for their feast. This is where they came. This is where the temple was. This is where they would come for their sacrifices. And in Jerusalem, to Jews, devout men from every nation, Peter said, repent. Because that message has never changed for God's people. But now, at this time in history, things are beginning to change. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 is fulfilled, and God has poured his spirit out on all flesh, and men are receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, and this is what causes Peter to stand up and begin to preach his message, because the people did not understand what was happening. And at the conclusion of his message was that line, repent and be baptized. So we see now that salvation to the Jew first. And the message is still repent. But on the day of Pentecost, it was made available to people of all nations. Because God is pouring his spirit out on all flesh. It was available, but it was unrealized. The Jews thought it was still just for them. This happened at our feast. This happened in our city. It fell on Jewish people. It fell on the mother of Jesus. It fell on Peter, the key holder. It fell on John, the beloved. It fell on the Hebrews in that city. But Acts chapter 10 is coming. It was unrealized for the Gentiles on Pentecost, but we're next in line. And in Acts chapter 10, we find Peter make his way into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And it was not even custom for a Jew to go into the house of a Gentile. But God told him, what I have cleansed, don't you call common. And so Peter went to this house and he came in to Cornelius, who the scripture says was a devout man, feared God, gave much alms to the people, prayed always. And while he was fasting, the angel of the Lord showed up in his house, but he was not saved. He said, send for Peter so he can tell you what you ought to do. And Peter begins to preach unto them Jesus. And it says, while he was preaching Jesus, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they began to speak in other tongues. In Acts 11:18, at the disbelief and shock to those Jewish people that came with Peter, they realized that something incredible is now happening, because they heard these Gentiles magnifying and glorifying God in other tongues. And it says in Acts 11:18 that they came to this conclusion. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now you see what I'm talking about. Not that it's just a must, but it's I get to. Because God did not have to, there never had to be an also. He could have kept it for his people if he wanted to. But he granted unto us repentance unto life. We talk about, we focus on baptism a lot. We focus on being filled with the Holy Ghost a lot. But it can't happen. It shouldn't happen. We don't need to jump to those steps. We need to tell people about how wonderful it is that I can repent. We have to tell people how wonderful it is that I get to say, God, I'm sorry, and He accepts that. And that I've made a decision to turn my life around, and He will acknowledge that and accept that. He will offer me being a living sacrifice now, holy and acceptable unto Him. A sacrifice had to be spotless and without blemish, but then it had to be dead also. Repentance is death. And God wants us to be living sacrifices. A person, a people that know and understand that repentance is not just some dictated order that I'm getting slammed with every week, but that repentance is a great and merciful, good gift from God that allows me to step out of a life that was leading me to destruction and get on a path that's going to lead me to life. All the good deeds that Cornelius was doing, it got God's attention, but it never saved him. He said, let Peter tell you what you ought to do. And when he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. They would receive the Spirit just like they did on the day of Pentecost. The only conclusion that the Jews could make was that now God has granted repentance unto life for the Gentiles. See, we think that you can have the Holy Ghost without repentance, but you can't. They realize that. They realize that there's been a repentance in this house. I'd love to have heard that room while Peter was preaching what was happening. I'd love to have seen the tears that were falling while Peter was preaching. I'd love to have seen the looks on their faces when they heard that name, that sweet name of Jesus for the very first time. And all of a sudden, one of them maybe just lifted their hands and the Holy Ghost fell. They lifted their hands in repentance while Peter was preaching about what Jesus had done for them. And they began to, one by one, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues. And they didn't leave it there. Peter said, well, then who can forbid water that these should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Because your conversion is not complete at repentance. That's where it begins. It's not complete with baptism. That's just a part of it. It is not complete with just being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's part of it. You've got to have all three parts. Praise God. And God has granted the repentance unto life unto us. Romans 11 and 17, Paul wrote and said that we were grafted in. The vine that Israel had always been grafted into. You see, now we're partakers of the things that God wants for His people. And repentance is what He wants. We're partakers now. There's a new way of life for us. We have a way out. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and 10 that in times past we were not a people. But now we are the people of God. He said, we had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God in His mercy and God in His goodness granted repentance unto us. Now we belong to Him. We are His, purchased by His blood. And God has granted us repentance unto life. Repentance is life. It's not just I must, but it's I get to. I can. And God did not have to grant this life-giving action to us. But He did. In prodigal prayer the other night, I made mention of what a great story. It's a story of repentance. The prodigal son repents of where he's at. It says he comes to himself and he realizes, I will go to my father's house. I'm not just going to have a mental moment here or an emotional moment here, but I'm going to put some action. I'm going to walk out of the pig pen. I'm going to walk out of this land, and I'm going to go back to my father's house. And the father sees him far off and runs to him and falls on him, and is hugging his neck and kissing him. It's so significant, that part right there, because the father did not have to allow him back. He could have stopped him. He could have had men, I want you always at the gate, and if that nasty, dirty, low-life son shows back up at this gate, you run him off. He could have told the son when he tried to fall down before him, get out of here. You have ruined our name. You have caused scandal. You have been a shame to this family. He did not have to allow it. And God did not have to allow us. The son could have went through everything he did and got there, and the father could have said, nope, you're not coming back in here and dirtying this house up. Let me tell you something. Repentant people are not perfect people. Jesus said, they that are whole, they don't need a physician. They don't need a physician, but they that are sick. And let me tell you, the great physician has, as one old song we were singing this morning, has he's written out all my scriptures. God has diagnosed us, and the prescription is repentance. The prescription is repentance, because that's where it starts. And this father, when he saw his son, he saw the condition. He could tell as he got closer, I know this is my son, but he could see the effects, how he had been ravaged by the sin and the things he had been doing and the way he had been living. And yet he still fell on his neck and hugged him, embraced him, and kissed him. And it's not just repentance and forgiveness, but then it was restoration. Bring forth the robe. Bring him some shoes for his feet. Bring him a ring for his finger. And go and get the fatted calf and prepare it, because we're going to make merry, because this my son was dead, but he's alive. What did that? Repentance. He brought him back repentance unto life. This is my son who was dead, but when he repented and he came home and I forgave him and restored him, now he's living again. We're going to celebrate because he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. Repentance puts you back in a place where you can be found. Even the parables on repentance talk about being found. The lost sheep, he's found. The lost coin, it's found. And both of those refer to the joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Repentance is something we get to do. Thank God that we can. That we're not just, because if we couldn't, we would just be beggars. We would be beggars. God, please. And God's going, no. Please forgive me. Nope. But repentance, oh, God gave us repentance so that we could be saved and that we could be changed and we could be better. He didn't have to allow it. He didn't have to grant it, but he did. Aren't you thankful for it? Well, we ought to give God some glory in this house. I want you to start looking at repentance in a new way. I don't want you to think about it's the hammer coming down. Friend, it's the goodness of God. It's the mercy of God. Praise God. It leads us into a place of life, leads us away from the path of destruction. And so what is this repentance? What do we do with it? I want to tell you something that repentance is not. Repentance is not just emotional. Oh, absolutely, there's going to be some emotion involved in it, but it's not just a feeling. It's not just a mental assertion. It's not just tears. Now, all these things will be involved in it, but you can't dumb it down to just those things. It's not just words that you say. It's going to be more than that. There will surely be words involved. There has to be words involved. But there must also be something else. There must be fruit in our life. John the Baptist, we talked about him preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what he said in Matthew 3:8 when he saw the people come to the water. He said, bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. bring fruit that is worthy of. That's what the word means. Worthy for repentance. In other words, don't just come with a bunch of words and a bunch of lies and a bunch of "I hope to." He said, come with a determination. Come with a decision that has been made. Bring forth, lay down, walk away, turn from, bring forth fruits, meet, worthy of repentance. Because fruit is not what you hear. Fruit is what you see. People can say they've repented all day long, but it is the fruit that will tell the story. Mm-hmm. And fruit comes from a tree. And Jesus said, you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Make the tree good and its fruit good, or either make the tree bad and its fruit bad. But fruit will describe what you see. An orange will tell you that it is an orange tree. A lemon will make you know for sure this is a lemon tree. Apples, apple trees, and so forth and so on. And repentance, a life that is changed, a life that is different from the things that God died to save us from. Friend, let me tell you, that is what shows us. That is what shows God. Are you serious about this life with me? When we repent, we don't just repent with words, but we repent with our actions. The scripture says we should be thoroughly furnished now unto good works, and that we should let our light so shine before men that they would see those good works and glorify God in heaven. Friend, when people see you actually changed from who you used to be, they can give God glory because they, in their mind, they know there's no way they could have ever done that on their own. And that's right, I couldn't have. I could have repented every day of my life since 1993. But if God did not allow repentance, I would still be the same in the sight of men and in His sight. But repentance got me on the way to life. It led me to the waters where my sins could be washed away. There has to be a change when we repent. Acts 3:19, the scripture says, repent ye therefore. We want to be a book of Acts church. We want to be a book of Acts church. We want to be a book of Acts church. Baptism, Holy Ghost. Don't forget repentance. Yes. Repent ye therefore. Be converted. Changed. Be changed. That your sins may be blotted out. Don't be trying to get your sins blotted out without repentance, because it don't happen. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's getting rid of your sins. It follows repentance. He said right here, repent and be converted. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That word, you're converted, turn around. Repent and turn around. It also can mean reverse. Repent, put it in reverse. Stop going in that direction. What it's saying is quit walking the way you're walking so your sins can be blotted out. Because, I read a quote the other day. Let me see if I can find it. It says, how can God forgive us if we are not ready to give up that which caused us to stumble? God cannot forgive you of sin you won't repent of. If you won't repent of it, you won't be forgiven of it. Friend, we worry a lot of times about unforgivable sin. Well, let me tell you, unrepented sin is unforgivable. God can't forgive a sin that won't be repented of. And so how can He forgive us if we're not ready to give up that which caused us to stumble? We need to be able to do that. Praise God. We need to repent. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Now, friend, he did not stop breathing every day and then resurrect. He wasn't talking about natural death. He was talking about a death to the things of this world. Repentance, as we said, it equals in the gospel message, repentance is equated to death. And so Paul said it's a daily choice. The word die there, actually part of the meaning is to be away from. And so Paul is saying, every day I make a decision to be away from what God saved me from, to turn my back on the things that God called me out of. I make a daily decision to die. The scripture says we are dead to sin, but alive unto God. And friend, we die to sin at repentance, and we are buried in His name. But we come alive to God. We can never be alive to God without repentance, because we have to repent of those sins and die to those sins. Repentance, one man said, is siding with God against yourself. I'm taking God's side. I'm not listening to my flesh. I'm not listening to my carnality. But I'm going to side with God against myself. Ooh. Brother Harvey posted something a week or so ago, and I saved it because I knew I was going to be preaching a message on this. But he said, repentance starts with I'm sorry, but it ends in I quit. Lord, I quit. I'm going to quit going there. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit talking like that. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So, yeah, we ought to clap our hands to the Lord. Repentance. This is what repentance is. It's where we die to sin, we die to our flesh, where we die to our ungodly ways. And that is what God granted us. There was no way to do it. One man in the scripture said, how will a young man cleanse his ways? There's no way for me to do it on my own. He said, but by taking heed to God's word. That's the only way. What's God's word say about it? Repent. Come to repentance. Repent of your sins. Repent and be baptized. Repent. Repentance is preparation for new birth. It is the preparation for the birth of the water, birth of the Spirit. Now those can be interchanged. People can be filled with the Holy Ghost before they're baptized. They can be baptized before they're filled with the Holy Ghost. It happens. We see it in Scripture time and time again. In Samaria, Philip was preaching a revival. They were believing, and they had been baptized, it said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Ghost had not fallen on them. So disciples come down, apostles come down, lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Ghost, baptized Holy Ghost. In Cornelius' house, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized. It happens that way sometimes, but what never changes place is repentance. Never. Always got to be first. If you're not going to repent, why would you be baptized? Because all you're going to do is get wet. If you're not going to repent, if you're like, I'm not changing my ways, but I'll get baptized if that'll save me. Well, it won't save you without repentance. Because the gospel message has to be heard, and repentance has to be followed up with baptism in His name. If there is no repentance, there will be no Spirit. Because that Spirit is the new birth. And if we don't die, then we won't be resurrected. We've got to die to sin so that the Spirit of God can move in and bring us to the newness of life, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 6. Repentance is like you are weeding out the garden. You are plowing up the ground, getting rid of all the weeds and getting rid of all the rocks so that something new can be planted. No more briars and no more weeds and no more bad things growing, but now it's fresh ground, and God can sow that seed in your heart and new things can begin to grow and produce fruit in your life. It is. Repentance is a change of heart. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's a change of heart, and it is a change of mind that leads to the saving of the soul. It's got to be a decision made, and there's got to be some action to follow it. Again, repentant people are not perfect people. They fall. Though a good man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The hand of the Lord will uphold him. You know what's in that hand of the Lord? That gift, always there, repentance. Repentance. When he says, don't rejoice against me, and when I fall, I shall arise. You know what? When I fall, you know why I'm getting back up? Repentance. That's why I'm getting back up. That's something that the enemy can't do away with. He can't do away with repentance. And it gets him every time. That's why he should always lose. Because if he knocks you down, if your flesh gets the better of you, here's the reasons why the enemy and our flesh should never win. We've got repentance. We can always confess our faults, and he is faithful to forgive us of our faults. And we can always turn back to him and turn back to his ways. And God is faithful and just to forgive. No reason for us to ever lose. No reason for us to give up. Because repentance makes it better. I could simply say, if repentance is death, then the servant is not greater than his master. And in fact, the disciple should be as his master. Jesus died, so must we. Yeah? If Jesus died, then so must we. Jesus said for us to take up our cross daily and follow him. Let me tell you, repentance is not a one-time thing that saves you for eternity. It is something that will keep you saved. The carrying of the cross is the display of the ongoing work of repentance and salvation in our lives. If there's no cross, there's no death. And if there's no death, that means there's been no repentance. We take the cross daily. Only penitent people carry a cross. And that's what worries me sometimes about a lot of the things we see today. Again, I'm not shooting anybody down because I'm not there. I don't know what's actually happening. But a lot of these places that I was telling somebody the other day, I saw a post from a church. They said the pastor gave a call and said, on that day, 400 people were baptized. Okay? Praise God. If there was a step of faith and that's all they know to do, praise God. But if it was just emotion, if there was no repentance, if it was just, hey, come get in the water, you're preaching the wrong message. And you say, that's hard, Pastor. That's truth. If you are just saying, hey, come get in the water, you're shortchanging the person you're talking to because they're not getting it. And let me tell you this. I could show you pictures of people who never repented. And I could show you pictures of them coming out of the water from their baptism with great smiles on their face and hands in the air. And then I could show you the picture of one who has repented coming up out of the water with great smiles on their face and hands in the air. You know what? You and I can't tell the difference. But God can. And on that day, sometimes people say, well, I'm here with my friends, I'm here with my family, and I'm just going to jump in because they're in there and I'm going to do it. And they feel something. It's emotional. And everybody's cheering for them. Everybody's saying thank you. But the sad part about it is nobody told you, honey, you got to die first. You've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to the flesh. You've got to die to your will and come to his will. And his will is repentance that keeps us from perishing. Ooh, that's stout, Pastor. But it's the truth. It's the truth. I'll leave you with this beautiful thing. Again, remember, repentance is something we get to do. Praise God. But I'll tell you this, it's not an option if you're going to be saved. Hosea 14, I was telling someone about this the other day. I said, this is one of the most beautiful pictures of repentance. Remember the words return and turn are the same in Hebrew, the same exact word in Hebrew for repent. The prophet said this to God's people, O Israel, return. Return unto the Lord thy God. In other words, Israel, repent to the Lord your God. For you have fallen by your iniquity. You mean he didn't throw them away after they fell? He said, return. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, or repent to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and then receive us graciously, so will we render the calves or the sacrifice of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more. Something has changed in them when they return. They say, we're not going to think or do or say any more to the work of our hands. You are our gods. For in thee, Lord, the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. Look what repentance gets you. I'm going to love you, and my anger is turned. I'll heal your life. I'll love you. My anger is turned away. I will be as the dew unto Israel. My people, he shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. And repentance, and come to the music, darling. Repentance leads to a beautiful life. Oh, it can be a life that God is upset with. It could be a backslidden life. But God just said, when you return, I'll heal that. When you return, I'm going to love you freely. Always loves us. Always. Loves us when we're in sin. But even God is not, because his word, he can't freely do what he would like to do if we won't repent. He wants to save us, but if we won't repent, he can't. He wants to wash away our sins, but if we won't be baptized, he can't. He wants to fill us with his spirit, but if we won't yield to it and receive, he can't. He loves us, but to freely love us comes from the penitent. Stand with me this morning. Repentance is not just something I must do. Repentance is something I get to do. God granted that gift to us. Here's the way, children. Here's the way, my people. Here's how you keep walking this path. This is how you keep staying in this good life. Return to me. Repent to me. Come back to me. Turn from your transgressions. Don't let iniquity be your ruin. Turn from those things. I've given you the option. I've given you the way. I've said it before you today. Hallelujah. Could we just lift our hands right now for a moment? Just receive the word of the Lord into our spirit right now. God's telling somebody today, I love you. I have not forsaken you. I have not forgotten you. I have not cast you aside. But return to me. Come back to me so that I can love you freely. Come back to me so that I can heal what's wrong. Come back to me. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.